Well, thanks to the Charles Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, this year we've made our way through Advent in the company of Ebenezer Scrooge. With Scrooge, we encountered the ghost of Jacob Marley, his former business partner, who warned him to change his self-centered ways before it was too late. Then came the series of spectral visitors that Marley's ghost had predicted. Through those encounters, we have seen Scrooge's cold, cruel heart begin to thaw. Thanks to the ghost of Christmas past, Scrooge discovered that past faults do not condemn the future. And then the ghost of Christmas present prodded Scrooge to look upon the world around him, to notice the joy and the sorrow, the abundance and the need. Scrooge discovered that people in every walk of life learn to be grateful and compassionate and generous. He also learned that generosity is appropriate not just at Christmas time, but all the time. As quickly as the encouraging ghost of Christmas present departed him, Scrooge found himself dwarfed by the third spirit predicted by Marley's ghost. Dickens wrote that the ghost of Christmas yet to come was shrouded in a deep black garment which concealed its head, its face, its form, left nothing of it visible save for one outstretched hand. Now, to be honest, after his encounters with the ghosts of Jacob Marley and Christmas past and Christmas present, Ebenezer Scrooge seemed to be growing at least a little bit accustomed to these ghostly apparitions. He said to this towering shroud, "Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I am prepared to bear you company and do it with a thankful heart." Well, the spirit showed Scrooge other London businessmen known to him. Those men were discussing the passing of an unspecified acquaintance. They showed no sorrow for the deceased. Indeed, they were almost amused by the idea that his frame had given up the ghost while his wealth lived on. Then the ominous phantom showed Scrooge a young couple barely scraping by. At this particular moment, they were relieved and elated by an unexpected blessing. They had just learned that the sudden death of their creditor had granted them the temporary reprieve they needed to restore their meager finances to a manageable condition and would not be sent to the poorhouse. Scrooge noticed that he himself did not seem to appear anywhere in this future Christmas shown to him by the ghost. And soon he discovered why. The spirit conveyed Scrooge to a cemetery. And in that churchyard, Ebenezer received his answer to whose demise the businessmen had been discussing, what creditor's death the young couple was celebrating. The ghost of Christmas yet to come pointed his bony finger, and the trembling miser turned in that direction until his eyes beheld a name carved into the handsome but neglected headstone: Ebenezer Scrooge. Listen to how Scrooge reacted to his startling, sobering discovery. "Spirit, hear me! I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this experience. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Assure me that I may yet change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart and will keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall thrive within me. Throughout Advent, the artwork on our bulletin cover has stated that this is a story about the redemption of Scrooge. Scrooge was blessed with the opportunity of a second chance. Through the agency of some guiding spirits, Ebenezer had been gifted with perspective to see the trajectory of his life. He saw how he had started nurturing seeds of self-absorption in his youth and young adulthood. He saw how he had hardened his heart, clenched his fist, and closed his mind throughout his long, miserly, and miserable life. At one point, Scrooge asked the future-seeing ghost a question which gets to the heart of all our wondering. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they shadows of things that may be only? Are we condemned to an unchangeable future because of the sins and shortcomings of our past? No. The gift of Christmas is redemption. Exchanging the bad for the good. Leaving behind the old, embracing the new. For that reason, God came among us in the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born into our world, into our lives, to save us from our destructive ways. By inviting us into an intimate relationship with God, Jesus redeems us from the allures of our self-centered human nature. Jesus shows us a hopeful future. We heard earlier the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, how he foresaw how God would redeem humankind from our struggles and our self-inflicted hardships by sending a Savior. We heard, "The Sovereign Lord has filled me with His Spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to the captives and freedom to those who are in prison. He sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save His people and defeat their enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to give those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, a song of praise instead of sorrow." Now that may sound like fancy Bible talk, but it captures the reality of daily life. We can feel captive to people's expectations, or to the relentless demands of our schedules, or to the schedules of our boss or our kids. And at times we can certainly feel poor, sometimes in terms of lacking money, sometimes lacking the time to breathe, to rest, to enjoy life. And certainly there are times when our hearts are broken. Broken by dreams and hopes that don't materialize. Broken by people who hurt us or disappoint us or are taken from us. Our outlook may feel hopeless, buried by so much baggage, bound up by chains that hold us captive. And we may despair that there's little likelihood of things being any different tomorrow or next month or next year. The gospel, the good news, is about our redemption. We have been given a second chance through Jesus. One of the most familiar stories in the world is that of the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we may have this image of peaceful, innocent men minding their own business, bothering no one, not likely to harm a fly. We may think that because of idyllic manger scenes that we've looked at all of our lives. But there's a reason that shepherds were scorned by their society and not welcome in the towns and villages. Not only did their personal hygiene mimic that of the sheep and goats, but the shepherds were a rough and tumble bunch. They lived in the wild for months at a time. They had neither the time nor the need for the usual social graces. They were not above helping themselves to crops or a water source without first gaining permission. We can only imagine their topics of conversation, their jokes. Oh, if they were to take a step back and take a look at themselves, you'd be pretty sure that they wouldn't be proud of all that they had said and done. And yet God chose them as the target audience for the first public announcement of the birth of the world's Savior. God knew them. God knew their lives. And in giving them good news of a great joy, God gave them a second chance. God gave them a chance to redeem their unsavory behavior by seeing and then sharing the good news of the holy birth. When God was born into our world, we received grace. God's grace enables us to leave behind what's in the past, to face the challenges and the blessings of the present, and to forge a future that seeks God's will for our lives and our world. God is Lord of all that, past, present, and future. An opening verse in the last book of the Bible affirms that in offering this greeting, grace and peace be yours from God who was and who is and who is to come. The God who was offers us forgiveness. The God who is present with us. And the God who is to come assures us that our trust is in the right place. Through Christ's birth into our world, God offers to ease the load of our baggage and clip those chains that confine us, redeeming them, exchanging them for another chance, an opportunity to start anew, a chance to make amends, to make ourselves a new future. God's love, God's forgiveness was born into our lives in Bethlehem to rescue and restore our lives. This incomparable gift is offered to us not on a silver platter, but in a straw-filled manger. And when we embrace God's gift of love and forgiveness, like Scrooge, we will not be the men or women we were. Giving our lives to Jesus, we are redeemed for good, for God. Amen.